They have exactly two worst spots they could be. But they're making moves, and we'll talk to Chris Landry right now about them and so much more. Welcome in, Chris Landry. It's Dave and Nate. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. We're head spinning right now. Jimmy Garoppolo was apparently hacked, and Brock Osweiler is going to the Browns for a pick. With a pick. I'm sorry. That's right. The Texans paid off the Browns. Chris, you've been around this sport a few years. Have you this trade? I don't want to say it's groundbreaking, but it certainly is not the normal trade we see in the NFL.
No, it's normally what's done in the NBA.
Yeah.
It's not legal in technical terms. In fact, that's the reason why everybody dismisses the fourth and sixth round picks that were included. That's the only thing that makes it technically legal. It's not legal to dump a salary for picks. And it is something that I know the league will look at. We've had a half a dozen of these things that were not quite as obvious as this, but the Sam Bradford situation was come under a lot of scrutiny last year. So it does happen. The Browns have a lot of cap room. That's all they have is cap room. So they are in the position of hoarding picks. That's what they've done. We'll see if they can do something with them. They're going to have a tough time because he's not tradable, and this contract's not tradable, and they're going to have to even eat more of it if they want somebody to say take him off their hands. They're not going to get anything for him of note. There's not a real trade market for him. They're not going to get a fourth round pick or anything. If they go ahead and eat the contract and say convert 12 of the 16 million into a signing bonus, and now he's $4 million, and you might have a team like the Jets or someone that's willing to take him, but certainly not at this price, and certainly not at a very high price in terms of trade compensation.
So we go from the hot quarterback name of last year to the hot quarterback name of this year in Kirk Cousins. I mean, that's been all over the place, Chris, because he signed the tender and everyone's like, oh, well, that means he's staying in Washington. Now it sounds like he wants to force a trade, with some people even saying that he straight up said, I'm going to be a 49er at some point. What do you think the landing spot's going to be for him?
Well, I think, first of all, there's a couple things, a couple ways it could play out. He could sign the tender and show up on time and be a good sport, or he can just sit out all the offseason until he has to report and just play and be a free agent next year. The Redskins are in a situation where they can just play it out, not trade him. They're insistent they're not going to trade him. He signs the tender, then, it's not that they can't trade him. They still could trade him. But their decision and their dilemma is, do they, obviously he's the only chance they got. If they don't have him, then they're a team that's completely in rebuild mold. Do they go ahead and get something for him now? As I'm starting to be really convinced that he's not going to sign a long-term deal with the Redskins at any point, not even at the end of next year. So if you're the Redskins, do you get something for him now? He's never going to have a higher trade value than he is right now. Or do you not trade him and hope that you can smooth things over, and by the end of next year, he has a good year and everybody holds hands and sings Kumbaya and, all is hunky-dory and we sign a new deal. Those are the options right there. And I don't know what's going to happen and, what decision they're going to make. It's been a very, very dysfunctional situation in Washington this offseason.
Chris Landry joining us on KHTK, and staying on that. Now we see the story that Kirk Cousins actually asked Dan Snyder for a trade, mm-hmm. and Snyder said, don't hold your breath. Now, I'm curious, in a bargaining position now, let's just assume that Mike Shanahan and the Niners want Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins obviously belongs with the tag to the Redskins for at least one more year, but as you just alluded to, are they going to be able to actually re-sign him next year or lose him basically for nothing? So who's in the driver's seat in that situation? Are the Niners with what they have, or are the Redskins because they have the asset?
Well, the Niners are not in the driver's seat. They have nothing. I mean, they can offer picks, and
sure,
they can offer a lot, and they can make, see if they can tempt Washington to make the trade. But he's, let's call it like it is, he's Washington's property. Now, again, here's the other thing. He has not, unless he did it first thing this morning, he hasn't signed his tender. He's going to sign it because he's not going to turn away the money, the $25 million this year. But, you know, he has control to some degree in that he can control his future. He doesn't have to sign a long-term deal, and word is that he won't. So he has some degree of leverage, but he can't trade himself. Only the Redskins can do that. So, you know, there's no complete control here, but if anybody is in more control than anyone, is Kirk Cousins. He can get $25 million this year. He'll play, and he can decide where he's going to play next year. So he's the one that's in the most control of everyone.
Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com joining us on the drive. Well, as far as what the 49ers have added to their roster so far, I mean, you've got, you know, you signed a Pro Bowl fullback, but you put some big money there. You got a lot of front-end money to Pierre Garçon and a couple of replacement-level quarterbacks. How would you assess what they've done so far?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think, you know, it's a bad roster. I think you can look at it. You can take apart the Pierre Garçon and say, well, you know, older guy, why are you doing that? It gives them a chance to be competitive, at least to try to put an offense together. As you kind of alluded to, it's a short-term deal, so it front-loaded money, so it's not going to be a long-term deal. But, you know, it really is going to come down to what they do in the draft. And there's not a lot that you can't really build your team through free agency. It's important to try to find some pieces, and you've seen that. Kyle has worked with a fullback before. It's important to what he likes to do. So you go out and get a fullback, secure that. You know, someone that he's, you can do a lot of the things that they want to do. And, you know, getting, you know, people will look at the quarterbacks. Yeah, they got two guys that were with the Bears that, you know, Hoyer is, you know, a guy that is serviceable player. And Matt Barkley played pretty well in the limited snaps he had with Chicago. Neither one of them are the answer, but, you know, they had nothing. And now they've got two guys that were in the same room together and can work well together. Now they just got to find a starter. And it's very likely that, you know, they may have to, it will draft a young guy, and one of these guys that they just signed may end up starting for them. This is not going to be, for Niner fans, I think they are aware of this. If they're not, they should be, is they're not going to be very good next year. They're not talented enough, but it's going to be a slow build, and I'm curious to see what else they can do, particularly on the defensive side, to kind of fill out some of the pieces in the second wave. But it's going to be about building this team through the draft and hitting it well there.
You had mentioned, too, that Kyle Shanahan likes working with a fullback, and that's just really not something we've seen a ton of with Carlos Hyde. And I don't know. I'm asking you, I guess, how you think that transition's going to be for him, because just from a sheer a matter of not having seen a lot of reps of it, I don't know.
Well, I think what's really important in the West Coast style of offense is to have the ability to catch the football, block, do multiple things. I think in terms of, you know, with Carlos, he's more of a runner, and that's what his role is. You know, I think that he can be effective. He's the one guy that's a keeper, and I think that they've got to upgrade that. It's one of the many spots that they need to upgrade. I mean, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, a couple of moves that they made at receiver. That helps. Certainly, they've got a couple of spots on the offensive line, but they've got, you know, three that they need to upgrade. You know, defensively, a lot of upgrade is needed. Listen, I think there's some positives in the secondary, but, you know, they need some components on the defensive front. But a running back, I think, is going to be key, and preferably two guys that can be really effective that they can count on is what he did in Atlanta and what he's done everywhere he's been. He wants to run the football. That's what he learned from his dad, and they've got to be able to, improve the running game with the offensive line and dependable backs and versatile backs, and again, a fullback that can help not only lead in kickout blocks, but you can wheel out of the backfield and, you know, get isolated and get an easy pass thrown to you, those type of things that he's going to want to do, because he's going to be dealing with either a veteran quarterback with limited physical skills or a young quarterback he's going to have to bring along slowly, and they're going to need a healthy running game and a defense to kind of allow them to be competitive.
Chris Landry with us on KHDK, our football insider, both college and NFL. And Chris, just some perspective from you again, especially with your scouting background. When you look at the landscape, and it seems like a story pops up every year, and this year one of the recurring themes is going to be Mike Glennon. What the heck is that? And Tony Romo, and now the Osweiler price that was paid to get him off the books. It just seems like there is such a lack of quarterback talent that teams are willing, Jimmy Garoppolo, for example, to pay a ton to get guys in some cases that haven't had a ton of success or just show a little bit of potential. Is this something that's happening right now in the NFL that's an outlier, or has this been happening since the dawn of time in the NFL and we're just making a big deal out of it?
What's happening in football in general?
Yeah.
It's a byproduct of how the game is taught. At the high school level, there's very limited spring practice. They have all these 7-on-7s. So everything is just the spread. There's no reading of defenses. It's just very simplified. Now, they go up to college. In college, you got a 20-hour work week. What's the simplest thing to do if you're a coach in college? You don't have much time to work with these guys and teach them how to understand how to read defenses. By the time you do that with a talented young quarterback, he's graduated or he's ready to leave. So what you do is, because they're leaving early, is you need to get them acclimated to some system of success where it's simplified. So it's very quarterback friendly. And you see that where the reads are coming from the sidelines, whether it's signals or whether these boards that show, you know, picture of a squirrel and, you know, Heidi Klum and, you know, and that leads to a play. That's very simplified. They're not reading defenses. It's called from the sideline. So you've got that. Then you have, that's what is your pool that you are drafting from into the NFL. Well, in the NFL, we don't have OTAs. Quarterback coaches can't work with their quarterbacks. They're basically hiring their own quarterback gurus, which are not as qualified as their quarterback coaches, because we have this, you know, really asinine, quite frankly, rule in that we can't really develop guys. Certainly the physical aspect of, you know, not being like the old days in Barbaric where you're lining up in scrimmage in the off season and all that's understandable. But to not allow as much time as necessary to put into your own craft of developing is certainly hurt. So, I mean, you put all of that into a mix and you realize, how are you going to develop quarterbacks if they're not coming from that system? A lot of these guys are capable of learning and doing it, but they've never done it because the process is so speeded up. And oh, by the way, you know, we draft these guys, overdraft them, because the need, as you said, is so great. The supply and demand is in favor of the demand and not the supply. So we overdraft the quarterback, and guess what happens when we overdraft a quarterback that's not ready to play? Well, everybody in the media and the fans are screaming for the guy to get on the field, right? They're not ready, and you better get him on the field. And then, oh, they don't really play well for the first couple of years, 3 years. Well, ding, 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 of course they're not going to play well. And then you know what we do then? We fire the coach. We fire the GM. We start all over. Well, I don't want that quarterback. I want the – you know, that's what happens. That's why bad teams are bad and good teams are good. Good teams have stability. They understand. They see and draft a young quarterback, develop them, let them sit. These guys are not ready to play. It takes a while to develop them, and you need to be patient. And when you don't have enough of them, people tend to force guys on the field early, and we are rushed to judgment. I mean, do you realize that Joe Montana – was Bill Walsh had him reading half the field until his fifth year. He was on half field reads until his fifth year. His first 4 years, he wouldn't give him the whole field to read. This is Joe Montana, and we're expecting these kids today to be able to do it. So it's simplified. It's not as sophisticated, which is fine. It gets them on the field quicker, But then it's a little bit, a lot easier to defense too when it's not as complicated. So that, in a nutshell, well, not in a nutshell. That's a soapbox, long-winded answer as I usually give to why we are in this whole dilemma of quarterbacks that don't run a pro-style system. And people say, well, why don't more college teams do it? Because you don't have time to do it. You get a 20-hour work week, and you don't have time to develop them the way you used to, you know, 25 years ago.
Yeah, and part of that too, I mean, it's because of that, you end up a lot of times at that level just finding an athlete that's going to have the ball in his hands on every play, and you get guys that can make plays that way. I'm curious. Myles Garrett seems to be the unanimous number one pick, right? Who is your top offensive skill player in this draft?
Well, I think that when you look at the top playmaker, there's not the offensive, you know, receiver that's a big time player. I think it's going to be, you know, one of the running backs. I think that Leonard Fournette would be in play. I think O.J. Howard from Alabama would be in play. And it's a really good question. I've never had it asked of me that way. There is that, you know, kind of that void because the quarterback's not there. The big-time receiver's not there, although there's some good ones. I would put Fournette and Howard in there. Although I do have, you know, Corey Davis and John Ross with the same grades, but I have them stacked a little bit lower. It's a great point. It's more of a defensive draft. And so you don't have that elite quarterback, although you're going to see two or three go high in the first round, just because of what we talked about. You don't have that dominant receiver that's going to go in the top five or six. And you don't have that left tackle that everybody's going to take in the top five or six, I don't think. So I think you're going to see a lot of defense. And I think it's Fournette if you want that physical running back that's going to have the 20, 25 carries, or Dalvin Cook, or, you know, maybe Christian McCaffrey's going to be a guy go later in the first round. But it's a good question, and I would tell you that you're probably going to have mixed reviews on different boards on who that guy might be.
Chris, the season never ends for you. Tell everybody how they can read you, hear you, see you, and do all the things they need to do to get that knowledge in the offseason.
Well, we got a special discount for our great folks in the Sacramento listening area and KHTK listeners, he said. it's KHTK Sacramento is the code you want to put in. And at LandryFootball.com, that's what we do. We take you inside the film room. We've got all our draft boards up. We got all the free agent boards, all the NFL players by position. So it's not just the free agents in there. It's guys that may become free, and you know how they graded last year. And we've got a team-by-team breakdown. We've broken down every team and graded every player. So we got all the detailed information. We've got our notebooks up, and we're making it special free right now to where every bit of the information and news that's coming around visits and signings yesterday, we had, I think our notebook had nearly 10,000 words in it of news and notes. So it's a lot of information. You can follow me on Twitter at Landry Football, but come check us out at LandryFootball.com. Use that code, and it'll get you a special discount. It takes you through all this offseason, all next football season when we're breaking down the games for you. So check it out. We love being on with you, and hope that everybody takes advantage of that special offer.
Nobody talks football like Chris Landry. Take advantage of that, absolutely. And we'll keep talking to you, of course, through the offseason leading up to the draft. Always appreciate your time, Chris.
Hey, thank you so much. Have a great weekend, guys.
All right, you too. Chris. That's Chris Landry joining us, as he does every week.
Thank you
round.
So much. Have a great
we'll
weekend.
Take, a break. And our
take
old
care.
Friend,
bye-bye.
Sam Amick of USA Today will join us. We'll update some stuff going on in the NBA and around the NBA, including his thoughts on the MVP race and where those rookies are. We'll take a break. Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.